Yes, this is Robert Shapiro.
Like Robert Kardashian is his friend.
Well, we're very sorry.
Sensational Johnny Cochran.
He's very depressed.
Marsha.
American Crime Story, : The People versus O.J. Simpson.
Can you imagine getting O.J. to play O.J. in this?
Do you know what that is? That's Mark Furman's headstone. I'm going to take that word and impale him on it. Welcome to the sidebar with Johnny Cochran and Dave the Clone pretending to be me and John R. R. Morton Esquire.
What is up?
This is the podcast covering American Crime Story, The People versus O.J. Simpson on FX Networks, brought to you by the Hollow 9 Network. Are you accusing me of hosting this show poorly? How dare you? Holy shit, what an episode.
Yeah,
this show
gets better. What a show. Nothing wrong with it. There's nothing with this show.
It's like...
This week, the only criticism, it was only an hour and 1 minute.
As opposed
to the hour and 8 we've been getting. That's the only criticism.
And again, it was like I saw on the DVR, I'm like, oh, damn it, it's a long one. Let me cram this in real quick. I mean, we're trying to get out faster, closer to the actual episode airing for you guys, because I know like people are chomping at the bit. They're like, oh my God, I need to hear more. We need more, because the show ends and it's just like, damn, fucking FX kicked me in the balls. Mm-hmm. I'm feeling this. And, oh, geez, it's like I'm kind of scatterbrained as to where to start, just because the whole thing was like the F. Lee Bailey.
Well, it starts off amazingly. It's a Marsha episode.
Oh,
she's in trial, and then you realize that's not Judge Ito.
Mm-hmm.
It's her divorce trial.
But now it's amazing how when she's not the lawyer, or just, I guess, how slow everything is, like how drawn out, like purposely drawn out, the ex-husband is making things to make it difficult mm-hmm. for her.
And the judge too. It's like, I'll show you. Like, you're no celebrity.
Oh, and she's like, I'm not Lance Ito. Yeah. Like, holy crap! F you, yeah. All of you. Like, it's like so much jealousy out there because I work and I happen to get this crazy case. You know, fuck you. I felt horrible for her. This definitely made me suddenly realize, like, oh my God, all that stuff that they were sensationalizing when I was a kid, the Marsha Clark dancers, you know, all that stuff. It's just like, holy shit, this was a person, and look at what it did. Like, oh, the ex-husband, what a scumbag.
I hope Darden was really that supportive. Like, he seemed like a pretty and very cool dude.
Dude, they're going to fuck.
Well, I don't know if they did. Like, I don't think they are. If they
he called her sexy lady. I was like, what are you doing, dude? You're at work. You're at work. People around. You can't be calling your semi-boss sexy lady as she gets off the elevator in the courthouse.
Yeah, I was wondering that, yeah.
God,
there were no like cell cameras there.
I know, but still, that's like there's reporters from Vanity Fair, which we completely overlooked last episode.
Yeah, Dominic Dunn, the father of Dominique Dunn. He even brought it up in the last episode how he could relate because his daughter was killed by her boyfriend.
Oh my God, that's the story of them. Oh, I should probably.
Yeah, she was died 22. She was in a bunch of TV movies and stuff, but she's famous from being the oldest daughter in. Poltergeist, and apparently that movie is cursed.
Yeah, the Poltergeist film with the all the daughters die.
His daughter was, and apparently it was also a pretty high profile case where the boyfriend got charged for convicted for only manslaughter and not second degree murder. And it was a big outrage because the judge apparently didn't let all the evidence here out, so the jury could only vote on manslaughter.
Oh, that's crazy.
Judge Katz. So he got heavily criticized.
Yeah, fuck you, dude. What are you doing, Judge? What are you doing?
Oh, what's Lance Ito doing? So also, like
he's like such a dick, right? Like
he's just a
do nothing judge.
I read an interview with Marcia Clark today, and she praised Sarah Paulson.
Oh my god, I feel like I fall in love with Sarah Paulson every single time she's on screen.
Yeah, Marcia Clark praised her, so that's pretty damn awesome.
I know that she's not sexy at all on this show, but it's not. She's no, you know, Hypodermic Sally or anything. But it's just her ability to become this other person. Like, and I felt like as I was watching, like, her get her hair shampooed when they cut her hair, it was like, this is Hypodermic Sally. like this is and this is Cordelia, you know what I mean? Like, holy shit, like, what a only on the level of like classic Val Kilmer, you know, chameleonism with this her performances. So congratulations, Sarah Paulson.
She's amazing.
We would love to talk to you next time you're in Canada or New York or on Skype.
Yeah.
That too. But anyway, you were saying,
I cut you off
on something.
Yeah, where was I?
We were talking about Dominique Dunn, and we were talking about how he could relate. Oh, and that the judge didn't let in evidence in his daughter's case, and that's why.
Yeah, so apparently, like, Lance Ito loved the camera, and it has to do with more with Furman. So when we talk about Mark Furman, I have some more Lance Ito stuff.
Oh, nice. All right, well, we'll get there. But he definitely, I feel like, I don't remember as much about the specifics of why, but I do remember people like just saying like Ito's the like worst judge on earth. Like after all the shenanigans and the shit showery.
Oh, right. The Marcia Clark interview.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
Said he's the only judge ever that did a 6-part interview, TV interview, like during the actual trial.
It was during the trial? See, I don't remember that. Dude, what the hell? Who did they do it with? What news outlet?
I don't think she said, but I actually private messaged you the article.
Once I opened it, my computer.
See, we have a relationship. We're not just fake, you know, buddies.
We don't just telepathically show up on Skype at the same time and be like, oh, hey, we're talking about the show today, right? Sweet. Good thing you telepathically showed up at the right time. It's, you know, it could be messy if we were just randomly willy-nilly going, hey, is it podcasting time? Anyway.
That was sort of last week.
Yeah, right. That was not good. But yes, we'll post that article on the Facebook page. In fact, I think I'll do that right now as we're podcasting. Bloody blah, blah. Wow, and they have, oh yeah, she's, I mean, looking at her face even in this picture, and then thinking about, like, how harsh everything was for her when she got to court late. And when she, especially after the nude photos come out and she walks in and breaks down, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Like, I felt horrible when it was Sarah Paulson. And I was thinking, this is real. Now I'm looking at the picture. I'm like, it was her. Oh my God. This is so terrible.
He writes on the paper, like, not for the hair, not for the sex. It's for the sexy picture. For the naked picture, he said something, but he just writes down, like, I think you look great or something. It looks great.
He
like
said it to her later. No, didn't he?
No, he writes that on the paper for the hair. Then after the naked pictures comes out, she's hysterical.
Yeah, yeah. He finds her sitting on the floor.
He goes, for what it's worth, you look pretty damn hot or something.
Well, yeah, he also had called in when they did the vote on the radio. It's like, hey, Valley, what do you think? Is she a bitch or is she a babe? Call in at the Yak. And he calls in, like, pressures, I'll vote babe. And I'm like, dude, they are so going to fuck. And I know that I do know that that was heavily rumored, like a lot of tabloidism was like, there's something going on between Darden and Clark, and they, I feel, are playing that up very harsh, not harsh, but very, like, obviously, like, front and center. It's, and like I said, it goes back to even, I think, the first or second episode when they were having, like, a late night meeting, and it seemed like, they're getting really close, man, mm-hmm. And now he's like, come on, dance, we need to break this up, we need a study break. I'm like, dude, okay, the last time I tried to get someone to take a study break was either in college or high school when it was like, yeah, enough work, we're trying to get it on. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what's happening. So I kind of feel like they're heavily going to go the route of, we believe that happened. And that's how this is going.
Can't show P in the V, but the dancing implies.
Yeah. Well, his moves were definitely like swaying his hips. Yeah, I was like, dude, you and once they start dancing, I'm like, oh, if he starts rubbing up against her, like, oh yeah. Dude.
Yeah.
He's was that Stanley, what's the actor who plays Darden's name?
Oh my God!
Sterling K. Brown.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, Sterling K. Brown, Courtney B. Vance, Jonathan something Travolta. Like, everybody should have a middle initial.
Yeah, and Travolta's like, getting hammered by critics for his acting in this.
Well, I mean, that...
So they hate him from the eyebrows down was one of the things.
Damn, really? See, that's just fucked up. Well,
the first two episodes, after the second episode, said he's becoming more of a normal person. He was... very campy, which I like.
Well, I thought I liked the character, the caricature, approach.
I guess people, maybe it doesn't fit in with the show, or
you know, the thing is, sometimes
if you're a critic, you have to be a bit of a douche too. You have to criticize
sometimes.
There's nothing really to criticize on this show. So
I think that also, I think sometimes people start associating like what the character is doing with the actor, and I'm like, yo, this is how the guy was. Like he's portraying a real person. That means he must have studied it somehow. Or
you're right, but apparently he wasn't this way too exaggerated. Like, he did pause in his speaking, but it was apparently this is way too exaggerated.
I think it's awesome for TV.
I agree, but,
dumbass critics need to find some shit to talk about. How about just talk about how awesome it is? It's like, because it's kind of, I don't know, especially, too, with the music this episode. Like, her transformation music was Kiss from a Rose by Seal, which was off of the Batman Forever soundtrack. And there was, like, that entire summer of 94 was all that.
Seal.
The U2 song from that soundtrack, it was just like Batman owned it. So for everybody who looks back and says that Batman Forever was god-awful, which it kind of is looking back, like, just remember there was a time everybody was like sucking its dick. So including you, everybody, who are listening to this, if you were alive.
They're talking to me. I'm
like, you're like, holy shit, yeah, I saw it in your face. I'm like, no, not you, the royal you. Everybody out there who's like, all okay, right. Well, now you're saying it to us, clone. That's so fucked up. Yeah, sorry, guys. It happens. If I'm not getting, details on historical shit that happened for this show wrong, I'm insulting everybody. whatever. Judas. Anyway. Marcia Clark. But
speaking of Travolta, forget the character he's playing, Shapiro. Was he really this disrespected the whole time? Like, he comes in, he looks like a bumbling fool a bit. Like, he comes in late to the meeting at the beginning, and they don't even say anything. They just like look at him, like, oh boy,
and then go right back to what they were talking about.
We have to tolerate him for whatever.
Yeah, like hopefully this will be over soon. You know,
he got us the job.
And he got us a job. Oh, dude, see, I keep not even thinking about it in those terms, because in addition to that, like, you know, like, there's that whole idea of, like, you got to be blindly loyal to people who do you that kind of favor. But what if they turn out to be a fucking lunatic? Like, he's like, all right, OJ, you have to say that you did it, and we'll just say it was aggravated and blah, blah, blah. They're like, all right, what a fucking prick. You got to get this guy off the team, For Kardashian to be like, what an arrogant prick. You're like, yeah, dude, that's a little nuts. Like, we're not there yet. But I did like when they were bombarding the Three Stooges. Oh, God, that was harsh. I do remember them being referred to as the Three Stooges, those detectives that Furman and whoever
Chris Bauer
was playing and whoever the other guy was.
Oh, that was tense when he came on, and before he gets on, Johnny Cochran schmoozing with him. And I didn't know what I thought he said something insulting. I rewound it, and just because after he named what city he's from, I didn't put it together. That's where the Rodney King cops were from.
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course he's going to say it in court. Like,
no, but like, when they were talking, he's like, okay, thank you. And like, he walked away all scared.
Yeah, but he also like looked at his people like, see, I'm teaching you a lesson here. Are you guys paying attention? Did you hear what he just said? Watch what I'm going to do with that shit, okay? You guys probably thought that was nothing. You thought I was just being nice. We were telling jokes, standing here laughing. Watch what I just did. Johnny Cochran is amazing. At least Courtney B. Vance playing him on the show. Incredible, but like the way they show how he thinks, like even in the car when he was talking about, she was like, oh, I don't know, I think this is gonna blow up on her face. He's like, I don't even care if they think he did it today. We'll deal with that down the road.
Oh, it's a marathon, not a sprint.
Yeah, like right now, I just want them to think the cops lie about little things so that tomorrow when I hit them with something big, they don't believe them because they already know that they lie. And if they lie about little things, then they definitely lie about big things. Welcome to planet Earth.
it's a marathon for him, not a sprint. He's brilliant. I did not appreciate the comment to Marsha Clark. I felt really bad to
her. I remember that happening. I remember that, and I remember, what's it called? The F. Lee Bailey 10 N-bomb 2-minute marathon that we have at the end. I was like, holy crap.
He said it
10 times. Holy shit.
Yeah. By the way, how funny was it when the people of the, I think it was an auto shop, they're just watching, oh, they're going to put Kato back on this show.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what this was. It was entertainment.
Even the TV network, they're like, all right, so it's beating all of our show's ratings. Like, people are not tuning into our soap operas. And it was like, yeah, I'm tired of watching some doctor have an affair with a nurse. We're putting this, clear the slate. This is going on. But what was it when he dropped the N-bomb on TV, right? That then they show the cut right to the execs watching it in their place. And she's just like, this is insane. Like, even there, I was like, what's happening here? How is this happening? Yeah. Oh, my God. And especially Darden, after he made that whole big thing about, like, Your Honor, you should make sure nobody uses this word. Nobody. And it's just like, I'm going to impale him on that word. Even the guys at the bar were like, what did you just say?
Yeah. What the fuck?
I'm going to ask that racist son of a bitch under oath in front of everybody ever used the N-word in the last 10 years.
You know, like Mark Furman as like an accomplished writer. He's a frequent guest on, what's that Fox guy? Hannity?
Oh, God. Sean Hannity?
Yeah, is he respected? Well, probably not. It's
fine. It depends on who you ask. Okay, I would hate to answer for everybody out there. But fuck him.
But he's banned from working in most police forces now.
I would think
the perjury. However, back to Ito. So remember his wife, the cop from the first episode? That was Furman's boss, and apparently he said she caught him saying that she got that job by sleeping around or whatever.
Holy shit.
He feels that Ito should have resigned from the case because of...
Well, she shouldn't have signed that Furman,
he let him roast Furman. Another judge might have stopped that line of questioning. Right?
Oh, true.
So he's saying he should have resigned from the case because it could have been a personal vendetta against him.
Huh.
Judge Ito just loved the celebrity part of this.
But like, I loved his face. Like,
and he was very pro defense.
Every time he said the N word, he was like, huh, huh, huh. It was like a big fucking tennis match. I was like, what?
Crazy.
What? And then it was Ito being like, you what? He didn't even know if he should, stop it. Like, he kind of was just like, we're all shocked. It's happening. Just let it happen. Just let them finish and they'll be done. And, oh, God, that's terrible. I can't believe I just said that.
He was all
that's
caught fucking... from this workers'
comp. Oh, I'm sorry, guys. I'm so sorry out there.
He was trying to get workers' compensation, saying he can't be on the street because of sort of PTSD from the Marines. And so he had to meet with a psychiatrist, and he would drop the N-bomb in interviews with her.
Is that what they bring in the recordings of? I know at some point they bring in recordings where he is dropping N-bombs.
Yeah, so I think it's meetings with her, which proves perjury. And
but that also shouldn't be admissible because it's like doctor-client, whatever, fuck it.
Yeah, man. But that's the thing. By that point...
Oh, but if it's psychological evaluation, that's different.
For whatever it is, it happened, so yeah. I guess... But even admissible or not, by that point, everything else was admissible from the defense that, he couldn't not, I don't know, Ito.
Yeah. I don't know, man. It's
very pro-defense, this case.
Well, I think he was, even the way Marsha Clark reacts to it later when she's like, I can't do this. I'm not a superstar. These guys are flashy. They're used to all this. Like, I'm not. It's too much. I mean, for a minute, she seemed like she was doing okay. Like, when she came in after she first got her hair cut, she walked very, very confidently. And all of them, were like, whoa, what happened there? Even the Vanity Fair.
But then she got killed in the press for it, She got fined. The verdict was guilty on her new haircut.
Oh, God. So that's why she gets another one later. Because we know that happened because it happens in real life, guys. It's not just because I also watched
it. We're not rooting anything. She's straight.
Coming soon on American Crime Story. The People versus O.J. Simpson.
The end of the perm.
The end of the perm. I thought you were about to say the purge. I'm like, yep. They should have purged everybody.
Yeah.
Just walk in with Dharma uniforms on and throw those gas grenades and just sit around and clean up the mess afterwards. But we also, oh my God. I mean,
can you imagine the shit Darden must have went through during this case when he was confronted by that? I forgot what magazine or newspaper, but the black reporter there that was pretty pretty much calling Darden an Uncle Tom, which is so not cool.
Yeah, it was really bad. Horrible. And then he was just really?
OJ was, it's like.
OJ represents getting away from black people as fast as you can. He goes and plays golf with old white guys. And
then he goes, but this is another case of the cops trying to bring down a black man. He's like, he hosts pool parties for these cops. Yeah,
that's the Vanity Fair guy.
Which I've heard, by the way.
But the funniest thing is when they both, Darden and the reporter, were arguing in the Vanity Fair guy. He goes, all right, I hate to interrupt your black thing here. And I was just like, God, this show, how am I supposed to podcast about this?
Saying like, yes, he pretty much said, yes, the LAPD is very racist and horrible, but this isn't one of those cases.
This is different. I don't know. I love that guy, and I can't believe we overlooked it from the last episode, because he basically went to a fucking Illuminati dinner party to give them
the
lowdown.
We fucking sucked last episode, okay?
We were tired. We were just like, we got to do this. It's bad enough. We're late.
We want to do a double episode.
Instead, here we are, like, blowing this shit up like we're on a fucking kilo of coke. We're just, wow, man, there's a lot going on. This episode's fucking crazy. Like, when that crazy Rosa lady comes.
Hour 4 on American Crime Story. That's not even the name of the show, but
we're still going. Mr. Johnny say, that's what I say. Like, holy crap. That was insane. And I loved when FLB goes, Mr. Johnny, Jesus. Like, just like, what are you doing? Johnny Cochran makes his first ever mistake, apparently, with the maid, but it was clearly Marsha Clark said. She's like, oh, they're throwing off my momentum.
That's true. Anyway, he pretty much got caught flat out lying. Like, Johnny Cochran should have gotten in trouble. Like,
all of these things where you're just like, how the fuck is this happening? Well, I guess this is why we're now living in a society where we're being watched all the time and everything's being like overly regulated, because no one gives a shit. Things are happening on TV live and everyone's I mean, a judge is sitting right there.
OJ went psycho on the lawyers after the maid.
Dude, that was amazing.
What'd he say? Like, Robert Shapiro.
Shut up, Bobby! If I want to hear you, I'll rattle my zipper. You're like, oh! Yeah. Oh, my God! That was completely avoidable, what I saw out there. Come on, guys. Juice.
With what he's paying these guys, he has every right.
Yeah, jeez. And then what about when Nicole Brown's sister was on the stand? I mean, it was a lot of testimonial situations in this episode that were like kind of like throwing the whole thing. She's all like, he grabbed her vagina and said, this is where babies come from. This is mine. I totally remember that. I remember that happening. Because I think we talked about that in a mass media class or something in high school when this was going on. It was just like, dude, this guy is a lunatic. Because then he says to them, like, why are they bringing this up? This doesn't have anything to do with anything. It's like, you're not denying that it happened, though, bro. Yeah. Like, holy fucking shit, man. Are you seriously telling me you think it's normal to, like, I don't grab my wife's vagina and say, this is where babies come from. It's mine. Like, yeah.
I've only done that twice, and it was not cool.
In public? Marking your territory?
The second time.
This is where my children come from. This belongs to me.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I've never done that.
Mr. Johnny.
It's never even crossed my mind.
Jesus. Johnny R. R. Morton.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That would not go well. That would not go well if I tried that.
I can't.
In public or private.
And then,
would I want to or think of that?
No,
I just saw it. I'm like, okay, yeah.
If I was a figure skater, maybe, because that's what you lift them by the vagina, apparently, in like figure skating.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, this is the only place to hold you up so you can, okay, yeah, that's a vagina. Those are the shoes from the crime scene. I'm just put these in my trunk. Oh my God. That was the one moment I thought Shapiro was okay. Like, but it was only after jumping on and following Cochran's lead. Like, Cochran's like, so you drove the shoes all the way to Simi Valley.
No, but that was Cochran, though.
But then Shapiro gets up and he's like, have you ever done this before? Like, the way he kind of followed up, he's right. Like, he's like, so...
How many times did Cochran repeat Simi Valley?
Like, yeah, over, and then he looked right at the jury.
Like, yeah, Simi Valley.
I understand. You know, like Simi Valley. I'm like, whoa, dude. And then when they cut to the jury every time F. Lee Bailey dropped the N-bomb, it was just like, you hearing this old white guy say this shit? Like, yeah. Oh my God. Everybody was just like, all right, we're going to recess. Every 10 minutes, we're going to recess.
It's the ugliest word the English language has ever produced. And it's still, when I hear it on TV, even like, it's still like, you know, it's still
in rap music, dude. Like, yeah. When you hear it in art, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Holy shit. Now, like, sometimes I think there's validity to its use for that sort of effect of like, there was a pretty terrible time in history that this word means, like, encompasses mm-hmm. in one shot, like a perfect way to like impale somebody is to use a word of that level of offensiveness.
So it's gonna have to be next episode where Furman gets roasted.
Yeah, well, like, I mean, this was the opening salvo, and then and it's exactly what F. Lee Bailey said what happened. He's like, if he denies it, they'll say bullshit. If he admits it, he's just like, then what is?
Do they know about the tapes yet, or it's that's just like, wow?
No, I think that comes out like, because even he seems to be surprised when that happens. I remember in real life, it was sort of like one of those. After that happened, then he just started pleading the fifth, I think, and that was
yeah. Next week is conspiracy theories.
So. Yeah, I don't know. We saw a lot of conspiracy theorying going on.
Anthony Hemingway is the director for the next 3 episodes,
and I definitely
it only shows 9 episodes on Wiki, but I'm pretty sure there's going to be 10.
It's probably they're going to keep that shit a secret for as long as possible. But definitely another episode directed by Ryan Murphy. I immediately was like, oh, look at this camera angles, and the camera's always moving. So it's like the only time the camera is still is when it's like high up in one of those angled, like Dutch angled shots down on people walking in a hallway or something. And then any other time, the camera is pretty much always moving when Ryan is directing, when Ryan Murphy's directing, which I fucking love. I love a never-resting camera, because that's one of the things that keeps the momentum going for an episode like this. Like, this was a longer episode, and again, when it was over, I was like, God damn it! How does it keep sneaking up on me every time? And I remember we were talking...
Oh, by the way, it's a 10 episode. That was ordered.
Oh, nice. Sweet. FX. Sweet. We got that confirmed. I just remember earlier, too, when you were like, oh, man, I fell asleep once Furman took the stand, and when I was watching it, and that's what it was. They called the maid because Clark was calling Furman, and they wanted to like separate out from all three Stooges being taken out right away, or like, I don't know, were they worried that Furman was gonna like damage their case? I don't know. It just seemed like that was the whole reason that he delayed, is because like Clark was feeling good and she was on a roll, and it was like, all right, we can't let her do Furman now. Although, I don't know. She played into their hand every time, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fucking deal was.
But Garcetti's definitely... a prick, her boss.
Yeah.
I'll let you decide.
Yeah. That's what they call psychological terrorism. That's like, you know, dictatorial leadership.
Mm-hmm.
That's some... You hate it because hopefully your compensation is worth it in a job like that, but yeah, you're going to be dealing with that shit. And
then her douche ex-husband or divorcing husband goes on TV.
Well, no,
says, "What are you talking about? She didn't have to, because they had to end court that day because she thought she had to go home."
Right.
And he comes on TV and is like, "She never even came home. She still works. She lied." Like, well, what a fucker.
That was after she called him and said, "Can you pick up the kids?" Right.
Right, but they didn't have to go to TV saying.
Yeah,
she,
yeah, and but it wasn't him who released the nude photos. It was her husband before.
No,
him.
I'm not talking about the nude photos.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm making the differentiation because they never really show the other ex-husband, but she like just mentions it. But Garcetti is the one who brings up, like, he's the one who shows her the.
Right, but the second husband went on TV to say, like, she lied, she didn't have to, and she never even came home. Like, because remember the court ended early that day.
Yeah, yeah, no, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But what's it called? I'm just trying to, I feel like I didn't see him on TV, so maybe I looked away or something, but I heard him saying that, and I know it was after she called him and even said, thank you, I need you to do it. But we never heard on TV. We didn't hear his side of the phone call, and it seemed like he was being difficult with her because, like, she was like,
just like, because are you going to sign those papers? Let me have custody during the trial. He's probably saying that.
Yeah, but it's like once you do that, once you give up even temporarily, then it becomes like an argument. Like, well, they're already here, and now they're, you know, used to a level of standard of living that I was providing them, and like, you know, it's a good environment. They shouldn't go back. Like, once you give them up, it's hard to get them back. And I think they implied that the kid probably is so innocent and not realizing he does it, but he probably tells the dad, like, oh, mom still smokes and she's not a good mom because she comes home late. And even she was like, you're supposed to be asleep. Like, when he comes out to the porch.
I could see it's more the dad getting that out of the kids. Like, the kid's not volunteering it.
Yeah, but
he's
then,
like, tell me about your mother. Here's this Nintendo game.
Yeah,
or 1995, Super Nintendo, or Sega Genesis.
Sega Genesis, yo. Sega Genesis had such cool games.
I was a Super Nintendo guy.
I wound up with one eventually, but we didn't go out to get it. We went out to get the Genesis, and then nothing until a friend of mine got me a PS when I went off to college my freshman year. And then I didn't get, like, a real upgrade until the Xbox, the original Xbox, came out my senior year of college. My dad got me one.
Nice. And
thanks, Dad.
Rest in peace. I went from Super Nintendo to PS2.
Damn, nice
PS3.
Jump. So no N64 in there?
No, but I was playing N64.
Everybody did, yeah. Everyone was playing GoldenEye, man.
GoldenEye.
Perfect Dark.
License to Kill, the facility, because we were always like more than four people.
So Right. So you
that
need the bigger
Mario
map.
Kart and a lot of whatever the most recent was. Started with WCW versus NWO, the Revenge.
Oh, nice. Yeah,
Then WrestleMania 2000.
Yeah.
That
yeah, back when the times of things like the OJ trial. I'm like, yeah, this is it.
Little after that. I'm not that old, man.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was NHL.
I was like 14. I was born in 81, so I was about 13, 14.
Yeah, so then I was born in 79, so that was like 14, 15, maybe even 16. I definitely was playing Genesis at that time.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I was definitely
listening
to Portishead as well. Like, when we go to Sour Times towards the end there was a lot. And actually, while I was watching the episode, I was like, holy shit, I love that song. And I grabbed my bass, and I was like, oh, I figured out the bass line. This is fucking awesome. It's like a new era. This show is like pulling all the nostalgia back. I'm like, oh, yeah, I used to play bass. Let me try this again.
It was a simpler time.
Yeah, because nobody loves me. It's true. Not like you do. So, yeah, Chris Bauer on the stand. That was rough. And I don't know. I feel like now that we saw he had the Nazi memorabilia, when he talks, I just feel like, oh, you sound like the Nazis on, like, Man in the High Castle, too, even. Like, how do they not know?
I actually read about him. Apparently, it was rumored, but he just collected World War II memorabilia, English and German
stuff. That's
what all
Nazi enthusiasts say. I'm just a collector of memorabilia. This happened.
No, this wasn't a quote by him. It was just, I don't know. I'm not trying to defend him. I don't know why I'm trying to defend Mark Furman here, actually.
Seriously, dude. It's an interesting platform.
Not a Mark Furman apologist.
You're almost like Trump going like, who cares if the KKK... I guess I should say that the
KKK... No, because he's definitely a fucking idiot, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Racist. He's definitely not as bad as he was made out to be.
It was like...
That's all I'm going to say, though. I don't know...
It keeps coming back to again, too, like that meeting where Cochran's like, it's all about the narrative. You know, look at these two story points she came up with. They're perfect and they perfectly fit our narrative. He's like, right now, Marcia Clark has the ball. She's telling the story. We don't want to refute her story. We tell a better story that is more plausible. And we turn it into like, that's why they were like hammering the cops to be able to build up the idea of this like vendetta against people of color and, you know, probably some of the things should have been brought up anyway. Like, their whole conduct, like, hey, so is it normal to just, like, you know, go tell the ex-husband of a murder victim just to let them know, hey, by the way, you were, your ex-wife was murdered? Like, isn't it true that he was a suspect at that point? Like, really just trying to be like, you guys are sugarcoating the fuck out of this, and you know you didn't do it right. Like, you just, is it policy to just, you know, break into the home? And they, all three of them kind of like came behind this idea. Like, no, we were fearing for Mr. Simpson's safety. We thought he might be injured as well. Until then when, see, that's why I don't realize why they didn't jump on it then. Because when once he said, oh, I saw a package inside the car that said O.J. Simpson, it was addressed to O.J. Simpson. It's like, doesn't that make it more plausible that he's a suspect? Like, it doesn't seem like just, oh, we found evidence leading to somebody who then eventually gets arrested. That means that's like, it's like you could trace the chain. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That means at some point suspicion was in the mix and it was like way earlier than you guys are copping to. Yeah, dude, I can't wait for the tapes. The tapes. Because that happened and then it became...
Yeah, the tapes, the glove.
It was used on everything. The tapes, like, became... Like, everything, I guess, with everything. As everything developed in this trial, it became, like, what all the Saturday Night Live skits were about.
And yeah, then, but... he's so guilty. Like, there's so much evidence to convict him still. Like,
and they blood. They cut to him, like, smiling at the jury every time his guys made the cops look racist or dumb. And you're just like, dude, that's like bad guy getting away with it shit, yeah. Man. It's not like, endearing.
OJ's racist. Like, he's
yeah, like, right? Yeah, he's a self-hating African-American, I guess. I don't know. Insanity.
He didn't even want to be black for the trial. Like, they had to convince him to make it about race.
Yeah, right? And he's like, it's not about that, man. But then he also goes into, like, when we were on the field, if we had a problem, we'd take care of it hard. You know, like, what the hell are you guys doing? Run everything by me from now on. I need to know what's going on. Like, the thought that they didn't even tell OJ, yeah, we're going to get the neighbor's maid, and we're going to make this chick.
Mr. Yanni.
Yeah. And they're like, well, we checked with the airlines, and you don't have any reservations anywhere. I'm going to make it later for tomorrow. And they're like, you can't just answer the questions this way. Like this is not allowed. You can't, you know, she's like, oh, whatever Mr. Yanni says. She's like, no, we have to hear it from you. It's the reason you're here. You know, it literally was such a rookie move, I guess. Like, yeah. Someone like Cochran, after he's been Mr. like teaching everybody their business the whole time. And dude, what about when that one reporter asked him about his history with domestic abuse? And then he calls his ex-wife and is like, hey, listen, I was thinking about selling that house we have. And, you know, maybe that money should go to you since it was your project. Because she said she already, like, talked to the reporters and said that she would call them back and let them know if she would tell them more or whatever. And I was just like, dude, Cochran's got skeletons in the closet. Everybody's got this, like, weird, started, like, kind of like an evil side that's coming out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Cochran, man, oof.
And I guess, I don't know, if spoiler alert, people feel like, I've never felt like the coming attractions for the next episode was spoilers, but...
I don't see them, by the way.
So whenever I'm like, oh, you didn't see this? You're like, no, I actually didn't see that, Dave.
No, but I don't care. I know what happened.
They, well, we definitely are going to see the hair change yet again from Marcia Clark, but, fuck, what was the one thing that, like, really struck me that I was like, holy shit, they're doing this? They're not doing the glove yet, but they're definitely, like, they're talking about the blood. Like, the blood is going to be huge. Shit, it'll come back to me. But there was something about what we were just talking about. I was like, oh, dude, they definitely...
Edo doesn't make the blood part of the blood admissible or something.
Right? Yeah, but it's like they're showing... Oh, they show that, like, supposedly Shapiro is doing a lot of stuff to undermine Johnny Cochran because of, I guess, how he's like a backseat now, and yeah, jealous and scared and bumbling and stupid. And,
mm-hmm.
But again, I mean, I think the way Travolta's playing him, it all works. You know, it's kind of like a thing of beauty, and I really, it's kind of interesting to hear that that people are like slamming him for it. I mean, I know he looked funny. You know, straight up one of our fans, like Bryce Lee Wynn, when he wrote in, he was like, he looks like a reanimated corpse.
Yeah.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Podcasting about a show on your network. My friend from FX is texting me, and I'm like, I can't talk about sushi right now. I am talking about American Crime Story, but we will do a sushi podcast, maybe.
I love sushi.
I am a huge sushi fan, and
we should
just
eat sushi while doing the sushi podcast.
Yeah. Oh God, look, a show is born. That's how it works, folks. That's how podcasting is. We're just like, oh fuck it, we'll do a show about that. We're gonna do Porncast.
We have a podcasting show about podcasting. Yeah.
Who knew we would be so meta out the gate? I mean, and then come to a show like this where it's just all about nostalgia and classic and retro, and it's like, oh my god. Yeah, the ex-husband was crazy. Was he played by anybody? Are we supposed to care about who he was? Because he had that. He had a face.
I don't know. You're the actor guy. I don't know.
Oh,
anybody.
Shit! Damn. All right. Fuck. Excuse me for throwing the ball your way, bro. I'm doing a lot of talking. I'm doing a lot of talking on this podcast.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know that shit.
Yeah, well, he had that face where I'm like, I feel like we should know you, but I don't know who you are. But, like, the way, I don't know. I guess I have a... Bless you. That was loud. I guess, I don't know, I have like, a soft spot for, like, certain moments, like when she said, you know, I work so hard because I have a family to support, and then the ex-husband turns in and says, well, at least they'll know one of us is there for them, and I'm like, dude, you're a fucking prick. That was, I mean, it was so, we knew when they mentioned her divorce at the beginning that whatever we saw was going to be bad.
Yeah, he's a dick face.
But holy shit. And then that the other one, like her breaking down the courtroom, I feel like I remember that. And at least I did feel like it was cool of Ito to call recess when that happened, you know, but...
She got married and divorced again after the trial.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez, dude. And who did she marry?
I don't know.
No? Wasn't Chris Darden? Because that would be amazing. That would be incredible.
Darden's like a very successful professor. I think Georgetown University of Law. Hang on one second.
Can you imagine like going there, you're walking around, like, all right, hi everybody, I'm Christopher Darden. Yeah. That
it's like Billy Joel teaches a class at NYU. Like, it says like B. Joel on the. Yeah.
You know what's his name used to do that too. The guy who plays Kumar in Harold and Kumar, Zach Penn. He was teaching a course at NYU for a little while too, and I think it was about screenwriting or something.
Well, didn't he become a speechwriter for Obama? Or something?
Yeah. It's amazing how this shit happens.
He was at Southwestern University of Law, but now I believe he's a defense attorney,
specializing in
criminal defense and civil litigation, making more money.
He saw the other side. He was like, "Holy shit! It sucks being the prosecution.
I'm getting paid nothing."
Yeah, man, I'm going devil's advocate route. I'm Kevin Lomax.
And in an interview from 2012, he accused Cochran of manipulating one of the infamous gloves that the prosecution said linked Simpson to the, you know, the glove.
Yeah, the glove, the one
that... I don't have the glove.
If the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. And so many, I keep getting home and catching like classic Seinfeld episodes, and I'm like, oh, please, let's get to some of the ones where, like the one where Kramer,
Jackie Childs,
he's driving the white Bronco, and he's like, this is Kramer, I'm taking him to see his fish.
What's his name? What's the Johnny Cochran, Jackie Childs?
I have no idea. Oh, you mean like the character name? I don't remember the character
name. Johnny Cochran on Seinfeld, the parody of the satire.
Right. I just knew that he was a parody of Johnny Cochran. That's all I remember.
Jackie Childs.
And, it's gotta be worn close to the skin, like a glove.
He makes Miskey try on the bra.
And now, was that the same episode where Kramer was driving the Bronco?
I don't know, but he's in,
Well, whatever, let's hope it comes on. PIX, get on that. Or CW, whatever the hell you are. Whatever you are! This entertainment podcast that has no clue about anything. Speaking of which, Hollow Nine Pod... Jesus Christ, dude, really? Right while I'm in the middle of the fucking email address?
Sorry.
Hollow9podcast@gmail.com. That's HOLLOW9INE podcast@gmail.com. Hashtag, what the fuck are you guys doing in the sidebar? If you want to join in the conversation at all. Speaking of which, we should probably check and see if we got any emails. But I know sometimes we jump on the show too soon and some of our listeners don't have time to email us before we record.
We'll start announcing it. We record Wednesday nights.
Yeah, that's kind of the time it's been landing. We can't promise it'll always be Wednesday. Clearly, last week we were off, but, you know, sometimes life happens.
Get your emails in by 9 o'clock Eastern. You should be good.
Yeah. That's a safe bet. That's a safe bet. But, oh, my God. The crazy cleaning lady wasn't part of the plan. Oh, jeez. I'm sorry.
Yanni.
Every once in a while, I just turn at the screen. I'm like, sorry. I'm sort of pausing my mind on podcasting because the show is still on here, and holy crap. Holy shit, hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Let's see if we have any emails. This will be funny, right? Everyone's going to hear it live on the air when we say, nope, nothing. Sorry, guys. It's an empty box today.
I'll write one now first.
No, let's see, though. I would hate to say that and then have actually, like, missed one from, like, Jenny or Bryce or any one of our fans. But nope, empty, empty, empty. So do something about that. If you're listening to this and you're hearing us and going, oh, that sucks. Yeah, it kind of does suck. You guys should email
us. We want to hear Jenny and Bryce.
Let us know what's going on. Let us know how, I mean, are you guys having the same nostalgia flashback trips that I'm having? Is everybody just like, I mean, I know I had a meeting at work this week. With my boss's boss, actually, like, she kind of came in toward our situation, and when we all had, like, a few minutes to chat with her alone, she was just like, Dave, I just need to know, what's your show? And I was like, well, you know, I gotta tell you, if it's not Walking Dead, it's definitely American Crime Story, just because, oh my god, I miss the 90s, and this is totally just, like, blowing my mind. It's like a little vacation back in time every week, so... and she was like, oh my god, it's amazing. So it's like definitely, it's a good moment between me and the boss's boss. It was awesome. But yeah, it's a lot of people. I haven't been seeing as much negative criticism about it. Maybe I'm not looking for it. Maybe I'm just kind of enjoying wallowing and loving the show myself. But I kind of feel like people are digging it, whether people think it's popular to bash it or not. I can't wait.
I've heard nothing but love.
And I've actually heard other podcasts that aren't even podcasts that cover the show. They're like bad movie podcasts and stuff. Like, how did this get made? And they were like, please, please do the Robert Blake murder for one of the next season of American Crime Story.
Next season, something about, it's about the slow response to Hurricane Katrina.
But, like, hopefully that could be a down the road, like, if we get season 3. But, yeah, it's funny that...
No, it's announced. Season 2 is Hurricane Katrina.
I know. I'm saying...
Oh, Robert Blake is 3.
I think it's funny that, like, I said that earlier and that everybody's, like, now thinking of what were famous trials. See, to me, American Crime Story, after you're presenting it this season as, like, a giant courtroom drama, how are you going to now translate this? Were there court cases around Hurricane Katrina? Like... exploring why it was a slow response.
Yeah, it's just, I think the crime is the slow response. It's gonna be like FEMA stuff.
Yeah.
However, I was just reading. There was a pretty very big trial going on at the same time. They got no coverage. Selena's murderer. They call it the Latino OJ.
Wow, because that they did a whole HBO movie about that. I didn't realize. Yeah. See, I'm one of the people.
Verdict with that one was like a week after OJ.
Nobody cared. At least it just didn't have any coverage. This is the
birth... No one cared, I'm sure. A lot of people cared. Selena was huge in Miami, you know, the Latin American community.
Right, but as far as, like, the news outlets and making the big...
OJ dominated.
Sensationalist. I mean, it's the same thing with Morgan Fairchild dying on the same day as Michael Jackson. Everyone's like, oh, really? It's like, yeah, dude, and she was famous.
Mm-hmm.
So, what the fuck?
By the way, that supermarket clerk should have been so fired after when Marsha Clark buys
it. I couldn't believe she didn't do anything about it. That's the whole thing.
The defense is in for a tough week.
Like, after standing up in the courtroom, after standing up to Johnny Cochran for saying what he said, which was nowhere near as directly derogatorily offensive, you know, she, like, just stands there and takes that. That should have been like, get your fucking manager over here right now.
By then, she was just defeated.
But. Yeah, she was beaten down. And I like that they had, they still have a lot of cursing on the show because of the time slot that it's in and everything, and if it's at, and it's FX, and they're fucking awesome. But I like that we totally see Courtney B. Vance mouth the word fuck, but we don't hear him say it. And I'm just like, dude, this show's fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's the best.
It's really great.
I think we covered it.
Yeah, that was a lot of stuff. I'm going to just look over my shoulder again real quick, see if there's anything going on.
No one coming to strangle you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, right. Every once in a while, I do get scared of that. I'm like, I'm sitting here with my back to my apartment with headphones on. Like, if someone kicks the door in, I'm going to have, like, seconds if you see it happen. You're like, Dave, there's a hand right there. I'll be like, yeah, I know, I feel it. Yo, fuck, who are you? You know, like, that's, I'm a little bit nervous. Anyway. Yeah, like, get murdered live on the air. It's fucking awesome, and we'll put it.
You know what, that's a trade-off I'm willing to take.
Some of you may die, but that is a risk.
You're expendable, Chloe.
I'm willing to take. Little Shrek reference for you out there, guys.
Wake
it on up. You could pick up a tweet on that one. That's fine. You can also you could follow us on Twitter @HollowNineCast. And guess what? Spelling is similar. to the email address. It's HOLLO9INECAST@that. That's us on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook if you just looked up Hollow 9, the way I spelled it a second ago. Or if it didn't come up, or you saw one come up in the list that says Hollow 9 Network with a cool 9 graphic next to it, that's us. That's the one you want to click on.
Hollow 9.
Yeah, you know what? One of our fans was talking. I was talking to one of my friends, one of our fans, actually. This was Bryce, who was talking to me on Facebook. And he said, dude, is that you doing those whispers?
Yeah, I don't even know.
A lot of people are like, holy shit, is that you? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And he's like, dude, it's horrifying. And I was like, well, it's kind of inspired by the whispers from Lost. I made it in like 2005. And he's like, dude, I'm listening in my room on headphones in the dark, and it like freaked me the fuck out. I'm like, well, that's the plan, but you should probably make sure there's a light on, dude. Mm-hmm. You don't need to fall asleep listening to us. You will wake up insane, probably. Who knows what kind of weird subliminal demonic messages are being woven into our speech every moment of the day. Not that I believe that that's happening, but if it is, fuck. What are you going to do? I don't know, man, but this is not cool about the juice. So, yeah, I think we did this one to death.
Yeah.
Although we did get to see the dead bodies again, speaking of death. We got to revisit the crime scene when Mr. Furman described finding it. And he says all the right things. So, like, when you were saying he's, like, an accomplished writer, I'm like, yeah, he would fictionalize his daily life dialogue, you know?
I have to go shower now. I defended Furman too much this episode.
I was just saying.
I don't know why I was doing, you know.
I was just saying it makes sense. It would seem like it makes sense for somebody to have all the right things to say when they're trying
to surprise. Like, I was more surprised. His own radio show also. Like, this guy should be like.
And I'm pretty sure on one of the.
Should be excommunicated from life.
One of the you know, Law and Order.
That South Park episode.
Which Law and Order had one of the characters was Mark Furman, and I think it was supposed to
probably
be
the original one.
No. It was like either Special Victims Unit or Criminal Intent. No, that it's whichever one Christopher Maloney was on that he played Mark Furman. What?
Christopher Maloney played Mark Furman?
Yeah, on one of the Law & Order spinoffs. It was either Criminal Intent or SVU, Special Victims Unit.
Maloney's the everyday detective in SVU.
Yeah, so but his name was Detective Mark Furman, and I'm pretty sure it was like, dude, hold on. Oh, let's two of the Google machine.
You're very wrong.
To the Google machine.
So you're saying 10 years after Law & Order. 10 years after Law and Order, after this case, Law and Order decided to name their guy Mark Furman.
I'm telling you, dude, I never understood it myself. I never understood it myself, Christopher.
No, but I even know because I used to.
It says actor, Law and Order, Special Victims Unit. Let's see,
Elliot Stabler.
Oh God damn it! Why did I think it was Mark Furman?
Because in the movie Murder in Greenwich, he played Mark Furman.
Oh shit! All right. Well, fuck it. I've been telling that story to so many people for so long. I'm like, dude, he played Mark Furman in a Law and Order. Don't ever listen to Clone. Apparently,
Mark Furman.
And it was, okay.
No, it's actually about this other murder that he wrote a book about. It's like a Kennedy murder. It's the Skakel murders. I read about that today, actually.
It's fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, God. I do know something, Christopher Maloney. Definitely, if you have not seen it, Z White Hot American Summer, he's amazing in that. In the movie and the show. Yeah. You've seen the movie? You've seen them both?
I've seen the movie and I'm like almost in the show.
The show, I was hard to watch at times, but he was awesome. He's awesome. He's always awesome. Fucking Christopher Maloney's a shit.
As a kid who went to Jewish summer camp for 11 years, obviously it's over exaggerated, this show, but it's.
I was going to say, Wet Hot must be like right. You're like, oh my God.
No, but it's very. You know,
like, doesn't he even say it's like, you know, and sometimes you're even late
even to
shul.
That cool, mystical, artistic counselor from Israel we always had every year that would just.
In the show, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, but like that actually exists. Like, you'll get a few Israelis come in, you know,
and they just plow.
They
through.
Have a guitar and they just plow.
They just plow through the whole like, camp, like,
stabbing in the cabin.
Oh God, stabbing in the cabin. Oh shit.
Alabama hot pockets all around.
Alabama hot pockets, dude. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So that
Yeah, on that note, jeez.
Go to Urban Dictionary if you want to
hear enjoy it. Enjoy that trip, guys. I'm not going to be posting that on the Facebook page.
Yeah, we will, even for me, that's gross.
We posted the Marcia Clark. yeah, from Coming the Bone over here is...
Don't Google Marcia Clark, Alabama Hot Bucket. I don't know what happened.
how did we get here? But this has been the sidebar, and you've been impaled by our insanity. So thank you for putting up with it. And until next time, I'm Dave the Clone, cloning Nathan Lane, cloning F. Lee Bailey.
And I'm John Morton. R.R., yeah. John Morton. Yes. I always screw up my name.
This has been another Night in the Sidebar. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time. You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. Follow us on Twitter at Hollow Nine Cast. That's Hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, cast. Email us at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. Or find us at our home site, hollow9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, fangirlzone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.